From VOA, Press Conference USA, here is your host, Carol Castiel.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. On this special edition of the program, we speak with both a Democratic and a Republican member of Congress, Brendan Boyle, a Democrat from the state of Pennsylvania, and Adam Kinzinger, a Republican from the state of Illinois. And we are coming to you from their offices on Capitol Hill. First, to our Democratic Congressman, Brendan Boyle. Congressman Boyle is serving his second term in the House of Representatives. That's the lower chamber of the U.S. Congress. He is a member of the House Committee on the Budget, where he is a strong advocate for protecting Social Security benefits. He also serves on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, the Subcommittee on the Middle East and North Africa, and the Subcommittee on Terrorism, Nonproliferation, and Trade. On this edition of the program, we'll talk with Congressman Boyle and Congressman Kinzinger a little later about testimony by FBI Director James Comey before the House of Representatives Intelligence Committee, in which he announced that the agency is investigating whether members of President Trump's campaign colluded with Russia to influence the 2016 election. We'll also discuss a number of other critical domestic and foreign policy issues that have dominated the first 100 days of President Donald Trump's time in office. Well, Congressman Boyle, welcome to the program.
Welcome to my office. Thank you.
Thank you for hosting us right here in your office. Let's turn immediately, Congressman Boyle, to testimony by FBI Director Comey on Capitol Hill just last week. He says that he has been authorized by the Justice Department to confirm that the FBI probe includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts. As you well know, all intelligence agencies concluded last year that the Russians did interfere in our 2016 election to undermine our electoral process. And then they went further to say that very likely they did so to hurt Democrat candidate Hillary Clinton and help Mr. Trump. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, this is enormously serious. Now that FBI Director Comey has confirmed, they're looking not just at Russian meddling into our election, not just that, the fact that it was potentially with the coordination of the Republican presidential nominee, that now becomes the most serious investigation in U.S. history. More so than Watergate, more so than the Teapot Dome. And I don't say that lightly, but during that entire time, it was an entirely domestic affair. We did not have an enemy of the United States involving itself in the U.S. electoral process, and one of the U.S. presidential campaigns teaming up with that enemy. Now, we don't know that definitively, but just the fact that it is credible enough that it's being investigated means, as I said, that it is the most serious investigation in U.S. political history.
Well, that said, are you confident that the investigation will get to the bottom of the issue, or would you prefer to see a more independent investigation, as many Democrats and some Republicans are calling for?
I would feel more comfortable, and I think that would be better for the process, if we did have an independent outside investigation. I think that it would have greater credibility than something that is ultimately under the Department of Justice, headed by an attorney general in Jeff Sessions, who we know has already lied about one of the matters before that's being investigated. In fact, once he was caught lying, he had to recuse himself. It still doesn't give me a great deal of confidence with this investigation being within the Trump administration. So I think when you follow previous precedents of other outside investigations and special prosecutors, I think that it would be far better for the country if we had an outside investigation.
Congressman Boyle, we've heard a lot about leaks this past week. Particularly Republican members of Congress are more concerned, it appears, about leaks, that is, leaks to the press with respect to potential ties between Trump administration officials or Trump campaign officials and other matters. How do you see this question of leaks versus the actual alleged malfeasance by the Russians and potential ties?
I thought during the entire 6-7 hours or so of the hearing, that was the most disappointing part. The fact that you had almost every Republican member of Congress asking about the leaks as opposed to the subject matter that was exposed to those leaks. I mean, it's kind of like if the Watergate hearings were investigating Deep Throat instead of the break-in and all the criminality that was involved. So yes, leaking is a serious issue, but I'm far more concerned with what was exposed in that leak. The fact that you had Michael Flynn, who was set to be and actually had become for 10 days the highest national security advisor in the Trump administration, the fact that he was openly talking and bargaining with his Russian counterpart about U.S. sanctions when the Trump administration would come to power. It's enormously serious. Those are the kind of things that we need to get the bottom to, and not the smoke screen about the leak issue. We need more Republican members with a backbone in the House to do what Senator McCain has called for, what Senator Graham, Senator Sasse, they have called for an outside counsel for an independent investigation. We will need more Republican members to push for that for it to be created.
Well, as you said, most members of Congress, both Democratic and Republican, have confirmed that this is a serious allegation, that the Russians have interfered, undermined our democracy, perhaps not at the ballot box per se, tampered with machines. No, it's more a question of the hacking of the DNC, the hacking of campaign manager of Hillary Clinton, releasing emails which were very damaging.
Every single day, that drip, drip, drip clearly had its impact. And, you know, none of us know if that was ultimately determinative. In a race that was ultimately decided by under one percentage point in my state of Pennsylvania, as well as Michigan and Wisconsin, that was the margin of difference. That's not going to be reversed. None of us are calling for that to be reversed. You can't turn back the clock. You know, the fact is their operation was enormously effective. But in the end, we need to find out what exactly happened so that we can punish and bring to justice any Americans who were involved in it, and also so we can act to prevent this from happening in the future. Because I would say to my Republican friends, while this interference may have benefited their candidate this time, there's no guarantee that in the future we wouldn't have the shoe on the other foot. So I would point out to my Republican friends that it's not only their patriotic duty to get to the bottom of this, it's probably also in their self-interest.
Well, speaking of that, many people are worried about the upcoming elections in Europe.
Yeah, and the especially in France and Germany.
Exactly. And the potential for undermining their elections by Moscow and right. President Vladimir Putin. But before we get there, one more thing that FBI Director Comey said at the hearing was that with respect to President Donald Trump's allegation that President Barack Obama had ordered wiretaps of him in Trump Tower, FBI Director Comey refuted that. He said that he has no information to support those allegations. Are you concerned, Congressman Boyle, about some of these unsubstantiated tweets and the damage they may do, not just here in the United States, but also overseas, because he made allegations about British intelligence, and he was with Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany making these allegations? To what extent are you concerned that these types of statements perhaps can undermine our credibility with our allies and perhaps antagonize them or alienate them?
I'm sorry to jump the gun. I was going to interrupt you just to say they are bizarre. There's no information, evidence whatsoever that Barack Obama's president of the United States was ordering an illegal wiretap of Trump Tower. And yet it shows you the kind of person that Donald Trump is, that rather than just admitting that this bizarre accusation was something he grabbed from one news report, something, by the way, that the network that aired it, Fox News, has since pulled back from and said they have no evidence or substantiation for the charge. But instead of Donald Trump doing that, which would be the normal thing to do, maybe difficult for him to admit, so the fact that he hasn't, it is deeply worrying. And it continues to signal, whether it's to our British allies or German allies or around the country, that there is this instability and sort of bizarreness going on in Washington that makes us as a country less effective when we do need to flex our diplomatic muscles and try to bring other countries along on a certain matter. It's weakening our standing in the world, and it's making us look like a laughingstock.
Speaking of diplomatic muscle and standing in the world, let's turn briefly to President Trump's proposed budget. Many say that this budget is perhaps dead on arrival, both from a Democratic and a Republican standpoint, that as it stands now, it would not be passed. Nonetheless, let's take a look at it, because it is a vision.
I hope you're right.
Well, this is what I'm reading from press reports and direct statements from both Republican and Democratic members of Congress. But the truth of the matter is, Mr. Trump has announced that he is seeking a 28% budget cut for diplomacy and foreign aid, which even members of the military say could hurt their effectiveness. How do you see this budget?
Overall, I see the budget as devastating. It's a far right-wing budget that you wouldn't expect from the way Donald Trump campaigned as more of a populist. But let me focus on the area that you zeroed in on, and that's specifically to the State Department and to diplomacy, because the size of those cuts are massive. And they would have another effect of weakening U.S. standing and influence around the world. I'm heartened by the fact that some of the leading voices for spending and investment in this area have been members of the Defense Department, have been 2- and 3-star generals saying, we benefit from spending and, as I point out, investing in these areas when it comes to diplomacy. So it is very short-sighted to cut in this area. There's a phrase, penny wise, pound foolish, and I think that applies to any cuts we would make to diplomacy, or for that matter, to foreign aid. And let me say something specifically about foreign aid. At no point in the history of America has foreign aid been popular. Most voters look at it as taking their taxpayer dollars and spending it overseas. Well, first, foreign aid is well below 1% of our budget. We could cut 100% of foreign aid, and it basically would not make one difference to our deficit and to our national debt. Number two, foreign aid is a tool. It's a tool of our diplomacy, and while it is in some respects charitable, it's also strategic. And I think that while it's probably not the popular position, I do defend foreign aid as a wise investment, and it would be a mistake to cut it.
Well, speaking of foreign aid and our role in the world, Congressman Boyle, I'd like you to address the question of Russian interference, not just here in the United States, undermining our electoral system, but also in Europe, their illegal invasion and annexation of Crimea, continued destabilization of eastern Ukraine. Are you confident that we can maintain sanctions on Russia until such time as they comply with the Minsk Accords? How do you see this going forward?
Yeah. Well, first, I want to draw a distinction between the regime and the people. I'm proud to represent an area in suburban Philadelphia which has benefited from a large Russian population. And we also benefit from a large, what you call former USSR population, a great number of Ukrainian Americans, for example, in my district as well. Folks back home get along and work hard and are proud to be Americans. So I don't want my comments to be in any way misportrayed or Washington's comments in attacking the Russian regime to be seen as we're attacking the Russian people. So that's an important distinction to draw. Now, as far as the regime, let us be clear about what we're dealing with. We are dealing with a murderous dictator who will do anything to assert himself and increase power. What Putin has done in Ukraine, invading it for the first time since the end of World War II, the borders have been redrawn by force. That is deeply concerning, not just to Ukraine, not just to the Baltic states, but to all of Europe and indeed to the United States. So making sure that we keep sanctions on, that they remain strong. I know that this takes some pain for our allies in Europe, who especially rely on certain natural resources from Russia. That said, we have to maintain these sanctions. And I believe that here in Capitol Hill, it's so important that we continue to have a bipartisan coalition pushing those sanctions in case we now have a president and his administration who would want to weaken those sanctions, as Flynn gave indication of back in December.
And then, of course, we have the fight against the so-called Islamic State. So the Iraqi prime minister was here last week. He met with Mr. Trump. Many regional analysts are saying we need to do more, not just kinetically, you know, militarily to defeat ISIS, but defeat the ideology. And that would entail reducing Iranian influence in Iraq, reducing their nefarious influence through their Shiite militias, supporting the Sunni community, their inclusion. What are your thoughts with respect to how to stabilize Iraq and make sure that they're a force for good in the region?
First, I mean, I would draw a distinction between the fight against ISIS and other similar groups that propagate that ideology, and then the fight against Iran and all of the incredibly nefarious actions that Iran is undertaking, whether it's in Lebanon, whether it's in Syria, whether it's in Gaza, whether it's in Yemen, etc. First, as far as against ISIS, it's far more complex than just the military operation. It's a fight on social media. It's a fight, yes, on the military field, but it's also a fight as it comes to law enforcement. It's a fight that stretches from suburbs of Paris to senior centers in the West to a Starbucks in East Asia. It is a global fight, and I think that it is one that's roughly analogous to the Cold War, actually, in terms of an ideology of freedom and modernity fighting against an ideology that pretty much stands for everything opposite of that. The fight against Iran and the Iranian regime is something that is more targeted in scale, but certainly not unimportant, because we've seen time and time again that the Iranian regime wants to continue to wreak havoc in its region, sometimes supporting Sunnis over here, sometimes supporting Shia over there, but doing all that it can to destabilize the region and attempt to get an upper hand on the nearby Arab Gulf states.
Congressman Brendan Boyle is a Democrat from the state of Pennsylvania. He's a member of the House Committees on the Budget and Foreign Affairs. You're listening to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Castiel, and this is a reminder that our Press Conference USA podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also follow me on Twitter at Carol Castiel VOA or connect with us on Facebook. Here's a shout out to Kingsley Okojaja from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. If you want to hear your name on the air, please send us an email to pcusa@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. And now we turn to Representative Adam Kinzinger, a Republican from the state of Illinois. Congressman Adam Kinzinger is serving his fourth term in the House of Representatives. He is a member of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, as well as serving on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, where his input, due to his military service in the Air Force in both Iraq and Afghanistan, is most valuable. And we are delighted to welcome Congressman Kinzinger to the program. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Let's turn first to the Intelligence Committee hearing on Capitol Hill last week, where FBI Director Comey addressed the committee and basically refuted any allegations with respect to wiretapping that President Trump had allegedly accused President Obama of doing. But he also said that they certainly are investigating ties between Donald Trump's campaign officials and Russia with respect to Russia's well-known now interference in our election last year. Your take on how that hearing went and what you took away from
it? Well, I think it went good. It brought a lot of stuff to the surface that I think we need to talk about. You know, I trust the Intel Committee, both on the House and Senate, to get to the bottom of what's going on. And the fact that the FBI is looking into potential ties is not necessarily incriminating. It's saying that, you know, look, we need answers to this. And, you know, whether it's from the administration perspective or from the American people's perspective, I think the thing to keep in mind is, as of now, there have been accusations, but absolutely no evidence tying the Trump campaign to Russia. But there are a lot of questionable links, and people of the United States, as well as the people of the world, deserve to get answers to this. And hopefully this process through the FBI and through the Intel committees will get us the answers we need.
Are you confident that we can get the answers we need through the Congress or the Intel committee? Or are you, like some members of Congress, both Democratic and Republican, advocating an independent investigation at some point?
I think anytime you go to an independent investigation, that's a really big deal. And that sets off a whole new, in essence, chain of motions that's going to follow. So I want to see what the Intel committee comes up with first. And what we saw was a public hearing. They do a lot of these things behind closed doors and have a lot more information. I think when it's all said and done, we don't feel like we got the right answers, then maybe that's the next step. But until then, this is what these committees are set up for. They can discuss classified things and classified settings, and I trust in their investigation at this point. And if we see when they're done that there's more information that needed to be gotten or it became too partisan, then I think maybe an independent commission is the way to go after that, but not yet.
Now, speaking of allegations, we also heard in recent days President Donald Trump is tweeting a lot. This is not
new. World.
Exactly. And, you know, not just the statements that he made about President Barack Obama allegedly wiretapping Trump Tower, which FBI Director Comey refuted in the hearing. He said that he has no information that supports those tweets. But he tweets other things that could alienate or in some ways aggravate our relations with our NATO allies. Recently, we had German Chancellor Angela Merkel here. He made some comments to her with respect to wiretapping, trying to make an analogy, which she didn't necessarily appreciate. In that light, and given his statements about NATO, not saying that it's not important, but perhaps not giving the full-throated type of endorsement that many would like to hear, how do you see these types of statements vis-a-vis our allies?
Well, statement-wise, I don't like them. I would recommend the president stay off Twitter or use it in a more judicious manner. But unfortunately, he's not going to take my advice on that. It's a new world. Twitter is a way for the president to get his message past what he considers a media that's biased towards him. And so, you know, I wish some of those things he'd think through or run through some folks, especially regarding our allies. I mean, Germany's been a great ally. Obviously, the UK has been a great ally. Australia. I mean, our relationship runs way deeper than a tweet or a statement. But I think anytime you do that, you can put a gray cloud over that alliance. And I think it's important for the president, as he's done in his actions, frankly, to reassure NATO of the importance that that alliance plays, of our determination to stand against Russian aggression, whether in Eastern Europe or the elections in Western Europe or the elections here. These things are all very important. Again, if you compare the president's statements for NATO compared to his actually actions on NATO, the actions have been very strong and very good. So I would encourage him always to marry up his actions with his words, but he's never been in politics before. This is a learning experience for him and something I think we have to understand.
Well, speaking of Russia, and more specifically Vladimir Putin's Russia, because Congressman Boyle made a very good distinction between the Russian people, the Ukrainian people, and Vladimir Putin, who is certainly widely seen as a thug and an autocrat. Speaking of interference in our own elections, are you worried about nefarious activities by the Putin regime vis-a-vis upcoming elections in France and in Germany, critical elections?
Yeah, I am worried, and I think we need to get to the bottom of it. We need to share our information with our allies in terms of how does Russia act. I think they understand that. In terms of its generating of fake news stories to lead Facebook, for instance, and it's completely false. So I think the best thing we can do to Russia right now is to make people aware of their actions in terms of that meddling. But the other thing is, I think Vladimir Putin needs to be under threat himself. For instance, if he wants to create fake news stories through his intelligence informations in Western Europe, well, he needs to watch out for his own election because that's going to be important too. So I think there's a lot of options we have, but I think the Russian people, who are very good people, are in many cases are falling prey to his generating of outside problems and outside enemies in order to maintain power. I mean, that's the reason he puts down the United States and the Western allies so much, is because it increases his grip on power.
Indeed, and of course, since he controls the media, electronic media in particular, he can control what people read and listen to and consume, unlike our country. In terms of Russia's activities in eastern Ukraine, very destabilizing, as well as the fact that they invaded and annexed Crimea, which is part of Ukraine. Are you confident that President Trump, this administration, will be able to maintain sanctions on Russia? Are you concerned that they might let up there? And also our EU allies?
Yeah, you know, I am concerned. I was concerned under the prior administration, you know, as they were discussing things about maybe we relieve sanctions in order to work together in certain areas. In Congress, we actually are very strongly in support of the current sanctions on Russia. In fact, we tighten them, I think, to an extent. So lifting those is his decision, but Congress is very strong on the side of saying that we have to maintain the sanctions against Russia. We have to maintain the stand against Russia. Again, you know, and I think it's important to mention, the words that he said in a campaign is one thing, but I think the reality of the president now in office is understanding that you cannot be friends with Vladimir Putin. I mean, every new administration thinks they can have a reset with Russia, and every time it fails. And I think this administration's understanding the same thing. We stand with Ukraine. We stand with our allies in Eastern Europe and everywhere else against Russian aggression. I think the thing to keep in mind, too, because we're not talking about the former Soviet Union. This is not America or the West's equal. This is a country with an economy the size of Italy that's prancing around like they're the equal to the United States, and they're simply not. We have way more arrows in our quiver than the Russians do.
It's just a matter of using them.
It's a matter of using them, that's right.
Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi was here last week. You served in Iraq. You know the importance of stabilizing that very critical country in that important part of the world. What message should we be sending Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi in their effort to defeat ISIS, but also to try to better incorporate the Sunni minority in their predominantly Shiite-dominated regime? The Sunni minority, even if they hate ISIS or al-Qaeda, feel like they're caught between literally a rock and a hard place because they're afraid of the Shiite militias whom he deploys. What about that dilemma?
So I think it's important to send the message to Iraq that we stand with Iraq. I think it's important to send the message that political incorporation, so political diversity, is not in our interest, it's actually an Iraqi interest. Because when you have groups that feel left out, we see what happens. You can have a rapid onset of a group like ISIS with support initially of the local population. We don't want that again. I think it sent a very good message to Iraq when we took them off the revised travel ban list. I think that was a very important message. We stand with the people that fought with us in Iraq, the translators and the soldiers and everything else. But I think the message to the Iraqi people should be very clear, which is we will stand with you. And political incorporation, though, is not in our interest, it's in your interest. If you want Iraq to stay together, if you want to get rid of the violence that has plagued your country for a very long time, you have to figure out this political peace.
Indeed. And speaking of political peace, that leads us to Syria, another tragic situation where you have ISIS on the rise, but also the brutal and sadistic regime of Bashar al-Assad, backed to the hilt by Vladimir Putin's Russia and by, of course, the Iranian theocracy. It has spawned an enormous refugee crisis, which is now plaguing Europe, which is putting Europe in peril. So many people, children, we have a humanitarian crisis on our hands. Yep. Adam Kinzinger, how should the United States respond?
Well, I think first off, every day that goes by, the options become worse and worse. I think we should have responded years ago. You know, I think, frankly, intervention on behalf of the Syrian people against the Assad regime should have happened a long time ago. That said, I believe people need to realize that Daesh, ISIS, was created by Bashar al-Assad. He has created a safe haven for them in the beginning. He's used them as a way to stay in power. And ultimately, his brutal regime is the biggest recruiting tool for Daesh or ISIS that has ever existed. So I think what's important is that we start with humanitarian safe zones. I think it's important that we bring our allies in the region together that have offered to act for a very long time. And I think we have to be willing to use the stick, the punishment, against Bashar al-Assad for violations of any kind of ceasefire. You bomb a UN aid convoy, whether you're Russia or Assad, there's going to be price to pay for that. And so I think doing something now is way better than what we've been doing over the last number of years, which is nothing.
I guess it still will be a challenge for the Trump administration, who still thinks, just like President Obama did, that somehow we can cooperate with Russians as if somehow we have the same interests. But we know from our own observations that the Russian regime is backing to the hilt Bashar al-Assad. And instead of attacking groups like ISIS or al-Qaeda, they are too busy attacking what's left of the moderate rebel forces.
Sure. And they're using precision-guided munitions on hospitals. The United States accidentally bombs a hospital in Afghanistan, and rightfully we apologize for it, and it's big international news. The Russians and the regime bomb hospitals and clinics every day in Syria, and you hear nothing about it. I think it is extremely important for us to continue to expose this dark link that exists between Iran, Assad, and Russia, and understand that you can never work with Russia, you can never work with Iran, and you can never work with Assad. And so the answer is, we need a political solution, but a political solution will never happen unless you're willing to back that political solution with hard power, which I think we have to be willing to do, which as of now we haven't been.
And hard power vis-a-vis or against Bashar al-Assad's forces?
Yep. Whether that's airstrikes against the regime, we can decapitate his regime in Damascus. There's a number of options that we have. We can ground his air force and put a no-fly zone over parts or all of Syria.
Even though Russia and Iran are there backing?
Russia will only advance until they hit a wall. And if they hit the United States, that's a wall. I don't think the Russians will challenge that.
Afghanistan. We haven't heard much from the Trump administration vis-a-vis a strategy for Afghanistan, and we are seeing rollbacks. We're seeing Taliban gain ground.
Yeah.
We're seeing infiltration of ISIS in, you know, what should be a positive story, which has been for many years, but we're seeing setbacks, Congressman Kinzinger. How do you think we should fashion our policy henceforth?
If Afghanistan falls, we are Afghanistan pre-9/11, and we'll find ourselves back there again. I think if it takes more troops, more air power, we have to do that, more training, more investment in Afghanistan, and as well as investing in Afghanistan's economy, whether it's mineral production or anything along that line. The Afghan people have been fighting bravely. They're losing far more soldiers than we ever could have imagined losing in that fight. But we have to give them the backbone and the spine and the logistics to do what they need to do. I think you will see President Trump give the generals over there what he needs to win that war, and you'll find a Congress that backs him.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger is a Republican from the state of Illinois and a member of the House Committees on Energy and Commerce and Foreign Affairs. Press Conference USA on the Voice of America was produced in Washington. Thanks to Anna Zalewski for booking our guests. Our engineer and producer was Gary Jaffe. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Press Conference USA on The Voice of America.